are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Well, we've been talking about rekindling the altar fire, and I want to thank Molly and Patrick for their ministry of the word. While I was gone on vacation, that was rich, that was encouraging, and it was very helpful to lead us into the Revive outreach. So I really wanted to say thank you for your ministry of the word. I want to go to 2 Kings, and we want to look in 2 Kings chapter 2 and start at verse 1, and we want to talk about fresh fire today. It says, "When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' Elisha replied, 'but do not speak of it.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elijah and asked him, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' he replied, 'but do not speak of it.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit.' Elisha replied, 'You have asked a difficult thing,' Elijah said. 'Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not.' As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to the heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel.' And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. 'Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?' he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, 'The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha.' And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. 'Look,' they said, 'we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley.' 'No,' Elisha replied, 'do not send them.' But they persisted until he was too ashamed to refuse. So he said, 'Send them.' And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days, but they did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, 'Didn't I tell you not to go?' fresh fire. Elijah is often considered the forerunner of the Messiah. Elijah was the prophet of fire. And Elisha was considered the prophet of mercy and grace. Elisha's miracles are considered deeds of mercy, deeds of grace that resemble those of Jesus Christ. God directs Elijah to anoint Elisha to be his successor. However, after witnessing Elijah's ministry, there is a fresh fire within Elisha, and he is determined to keep the altar burning, the altar fire burning in his own heart and impacting his generation with the supernatural power and grace of God. In keeping with God's progressive revelation of his purpose, we witness a new era of divine activity as Elisha boldly requests a double portion of Elijah's spirit. As the chariot of fire and the horses of fire appeared, Elijah ascended into heaven. And there is a shift at that moment in the spirit realm. And the supernatural power of God is released in a greater measure, and it ushers in a greater kingdom presence and purpose. Any time that God is transitioning in the spirit and the presence is released, you can expect him to activate a greater essence of one's faith, one's belief, and one's purpose, because the presence of God is marking that moment. It is our heart's desire that God will mark our heart's desire to reach our community in this city this summer for Christ. It's about Christ. It's about ushering in a new essence of the power of the Spirit of God and the purpose of God and the presence of God as we collaborate together in one heart, one spirit, as one church. Amen? Yet before this actually occurred for Elisha and the power was actually released, Elisha had to consider the cost. And I think that's what God is asking us to do, even as we were worshiping this morning, is there is a cost to being a believer. There is a cost to being a participant in the body of Christ. There is a cost when you sense a fresh move of God and God's moving on specific people and you have to say, Lord, we're going to yield and we're going to let that individual, those individuals lead us into a new realm of the kingdom of God. And what happens is it's hard for the old guard to let that happen. And yet it takes the wisdom, listen, of the old guard for that to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't have one without the other. God actually used Elijah to say to Elisha, do you understand what you're asking for? That's why you have elders in a church, because they have the wisdom to say, do you understand the cost of what you think God is asking us to do? Do you understand that? So important. And here's Elijah ready to release this fresh touch of God, this fresh supernatural outpouring. And let me tell you, Elijah did not know how that was to happen. He did not know that a chariot of fire and a chariot of horses of fire would come through the sky in a whirlwind and pick him up and bring him to heaven. He did not know that. He did not receive the word of the Lord for that moment. He had to be ready for that moment. A fresh fire. We can boldly request a fresh anointing of God's fire upon our lives. Well, Pastor James, isn't that just an insight? Absolutely, it is. Because I can preach that this morning, but you need to make the choice to ask for it. He watched Elijah preach. He watched Elijah minister. He watched the outpouring of God upon Elisha's life and Elijah's life. And Elisha had to look at that and say, what do I need? Because I know my master's leaving. What do I need to do to move in what he has and continue for the next generation of people who need to hear about God Almighty? We can boldly request a fresh anointing of God's fire. That's what he did. And we learn from his zeal, Elisha's zeal, that God is willing to anoint us afresh with fire, the fire of his presence, as Patrick talked about last week, the fire of his anointing, the fire of his moving through spiritual gifts and awakening spiritual gifts that have not been actually even touched for a long period of time. Taking us to a new place where we have ignited vision for an understanding that unless God come with the kingdom of God and establish his presence, people will not get saved. You can organize, we can organize all we want, outreaches, unless the presence of God comes and the kingdom of God comes and the Spirit of God approves and touches, life does not occur. Salvation does not occur. Amen? And so we are crying out. We are determined that God move with a fresh anointing this summer. As I look at these 18 verses, I see in verses 1 to 6 that we are called to determine in our heart that we're going to remain where the anointing is present. Amen? That's why we need brothers and sisters who are moving in the Spirit of God to be around us, because they encourage us, they uplift us, they inspire us. That's why we need to be present in the body of Christ when the Spirit's moving, because we often don't know what we require. We often don't know what we need. We often don't know until the Holy Spirit maybe puts it in a prophetic announcement, or he puts it in a manner that we can actually go, oh, that's what I need. That's what I need. I need to ask for that right now. Are you willing this morning to understand that you need to remain in a place where the anointing is flowing? Elisha is aware that if he leaves Elijah's side, God will do something without him. He knows that because Elijah had been transported many times by the Lord without Elisha. And Elisha's like, whoa, if you're heading out, and if the prophets are telling me twice that you're heading out, I'm sticking to you. I'm sticking right by your side. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving you. I could even hear him. Listen here, bucko. Listen here, I'm staying. I'm not leaving you. Four times he declares, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. You have to understand, it's not the person themselves that you're not leaving. It's the anointing in that vessel. It's the experience they have. It's the supernatural journey they've taken, and you're gleaning from them because of God in them. Amen? We're not talking about just following a person. He's not talking. He says, wait. As surely as the Lord lives. We get that. We start following man. Elisha lays out the way to do it. No. It's who you are in God that I'm interested in. Amen? I was participating in the National Day of Prayer this year, and Bishop Singleton was leading the charge. He opens his mouth in 5 minutes, and the Spirit begins to speak to my heart. I'm like, I am not going to miss hanging out with this man. He's got something I don't have, and I'm going to find out what it is. And since that day, I've hung out with him a few times, and he's coming to Revive, and he's going to be preaching here in August. Why? Because he has something I don't have, and I know God wants to deposit that in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the Spirit in Bishop Singleton. He just is a burst of life and joy. He called me the other night just to confirm a few things. And within, I thought it was going to be, he's a busy man. He starts preaching. He starts telling me about our event and what God's going to do. He starts telling me about what God wants to do in me. And then he starts telling me that God's blessing is upon Joy. And he said, wherever the blessing of God is, I want to participate. Is that not cool? That's what he said. We're in a fresh move of God, folks. You can sense it. Elisha, he sensed it. There's this significance. If you look in these first few verses of the of this chapter, there's actually four places that are mentioned in the first six verses. And there's huge spiritual significance, lessons, and an infusion of fresh vision that's linked to those places. And so it's incredible that Elisha did not want to leave Elijah's side. And he said, okay, well, here we go. And so they're traveling to Gilgal first. And Gilgal is extremely significant because Joshua restored the Hebrew rite of circumcision, and God chose to take away the reproach of Egypt in that place. So right in that place, by going to that place of Gilgal, there's an igniting of a fresh vision for a community of faith. Because that's what circumcision represented, was a community of faith that solely was worshiping one God, and that was God Almighty. And that community of faith was supposed to, at that time, be following the law of God, the commandments of God. And so it's huge that we have a fresh igniting of vision for our community called the Bay and Goodman and the Rochester, the city of Rochester. Amen? And then he takes him to Bethel, which means the house of God. And when I heard that song this morning, the Father's house, I'm like, yes, yes. I'm hearing your heart, Lord. Yes, I'd never heard that song before. And in a dream, God confirmed his covenant, and Jacob responded, and he remained in Bethel, and he wrestled with God in Bethel. And then this is the place, listen, where he was transformed from Jacob to Israel. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be just somebody small in the Spirit. I don't want to be Jimmy Laughlin. I want to be James Laughlin. Do you hear what I'm saying? When I go home and I'm Jimmy Laughlin, I'm this small. But when I come back to join, I'm James, I'm like this tall. But in God's eye, I'm actually this tall. And with my new hairdo, a little higher. And here they are at Bethel, and there's transformation taking place at Bethel. And this is a place of igniting a fresh vision for finding sanctuary with God's presence. He would not have allowed or wrestled with God until God's presence came. He wasn't going to leave until God gave him what he needed. And God wasn't going to let him lead Bethel until he was transformed from Jacob to Israel. God does not want you to leave his presence. He does not want you to shut down his Holy Spirit. He does not want you to close your Bible after service and not open it for another week on Sunday morning. He's saying, get into my presence. Get into my Spirit. Get into sync with what I'm saying and what I'm doing in you personally. And there are some things in you about you and with you that I want to take you from an immature or a mature person to a new level in my Spirit. Amen? Are you with me? Are you with me? Good. Then he takes him to Jericho. Jericho's very significant because the walls came tumbling down, remember? They came tumbling down, and it gave access into the promised land. The city, though, was rebuilt after it was cursed by Ahab. And it was a city of false religion. It became a corrupt society. But just because it's an evil society or a corrupt society, it doesn't mean Christians go and hide. It means Christians step out and change that society. That's what we're being called to do. And so Jericho is a place of igniting a fresh vision to conquer evil and seek deliverance for our city. I need a fresh vision of that. Can I tell you that? And I've asked God to grant that to my heart. And then he takes him to the river Jordan. And under the leadership of Joshua, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. The Jordan River is also featured in the miracles of Elijah and Elisha. And so there's this igniting of a fresh vision of hope and confidence in the divine power of God. If we're going to head into ministering this summer to our community, our hope cannot be in Joy Community Church. Our hope can't just be in our giftings. Our hope has to be in the fact that God's chosen us to go and touch our community with His divine power, His supernatural power. Are you confident in this building? There's a building of a new foundation in Elisha's life. And we see it as soon as he takes him to Gilgal, and then he takes him to Bethel, and then he takes him to Jericho, and then he takes him to the... And what do we see is happen? There are 50 men in three schools of prophets who are standing in those specific places. God's been preparing the way all along. We're not doing this on our own. We're not doing this on our own. I like what Samuel Chadwick said. He said, "Spirit-filled souls are ablaze for God. They love with the love that glows. They serve with a faith that kindles. They serve with a devotion that consumes. They hate sin with fierceness that burns. And they rejoice with a joy that radiates. Love is perfected in the fire of God." What a great quote. That's in your notes, by the way. If you don't have your notes, get them when you get out and fill it in. That's a great quote. Elisha understood the value of a mentor and his influence upon his life, and he refused to let Elijah go on his last journey alone. How wise he was. And each time he was confronted with the idea of Elijah being taken from him, he expressed his longing to be with him and was desperate to learn from him. He anticipated every move of God. That's the key, folks, to revive. We can't just come and set up chairs. We can't just put up a big tent. We can't just build a stage and bring out the worship team. We have to come prepared. We have to understand that God is going to begin to move people from Gilgal to Bethel, to Jericho, to what? The Jordan, where they're going to enter into the promised land of God and find transformational power that's going to change their souls, their spirits, and their lifestyles, and they're never going to be the same like you and I are never have never been the same. That should make a shout of glory. Hallelujah! Well, it makes me shout one. I look at verses 7 to 12 and I see that, like Elisha, we need to determine that we're going to exercise our faith even when it's challenged. And boy, every step that we've taken with Joy through this whole year, I'm not sure, it's been challenging. And we all know that. We all know that. But there's a fervent fire in this congregation. Can I tell you that? It is here. There is it's not a little flame. It's not a little kindle. There's a blaze in this place. There is. And we've kept constant. And we've kept in pursuit of God. And we, even though we had to shut down this or that for a period of time, we did not lose heart. And we will not lose heart. And we will bring the kingdom of God to this community in a greater way than we ever had before. Amen? No, I'm not running for a political party. I'm speaking on Jesus' behalf. Be willing to participate even when you're out of your comfort zone. I don't know what your comfort zone is. But I do know God is challenging mine. And it is not comfortable. And that's okay. Be willing to acknowledge publicly, like Elisha did, that you want to experience the manifest power of God and you're not going to be intimidated by it. I want a double portion of your spirit. Declare what you want in God. Don't back down. And after watching the prophet Elijah for many years, Elijah reached down and found the guts. It took guts to ask Elijah for a double portion. We just read and say, well, isn't that nice what the boy asked for? No, that took courage. That took guts. That took faith. That was determination. That was fervor. That was zeal. And if you look in the Greek or the Hebrew under the word zeal, you know what it says? Fire. Isn't that interesting? I'm like, no way. Fire. Fresh fire. That's what he was asking for. Fresh fire. Be willing to remain committed and engaged when God manifests his presence in a supernatural way. Sometimes when the Spirit begins to move upon us and it's not comfortable and we've not identified what it is yet, and we're supposed to be wise in identifying, is this the Spirit of God? That's what we're called to do, to discern that. And we see here in verse 11 that there is this vision, this happening. As we were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. Can you imagine that? That you're walking down Goodman with a friend and bada bing, bada boom, they're gone. And you're standing there and you're like, who mugged them? You know, that would be my first response. No, no, no. It was a whirlwind of fire. Now, what we may not understand is that when God is sending a manifestation of his Spirit, it is characterized in the supernatural. And so here it says that seraphim angels signify the fire of God. Cherubim angels often signify the chariots of God, and that's what they're called. And so Elijah had burned with this holy zeal for God, and now the heavenly fire that was refining him and translating him into heaven. But he prepared Elisha, knowing that the fire of God or something was going to take him up, and that when the cloak fell, pick that up. If you see me and you see that, and it comes together, you have a double portion of my spirit. And he goes and he grabs a hold of something, the cloak, and he tears his own in grief of that moment. It's one of grief and it's one of joy. And often when the supernatural comes, there is a dying to something. And when there's a dying to something, something new's about to begin to have new life. And so he's taken off. And so what was the age of fire is now being translated into a new age of ministry and the supernatural power of God and a double portion of the Spirit, and mercy and grace are going to bring people into the kingdom. You see, Elijah established the kingdom. And he established the kingdom in rebellious kingdoms. And now Elisha is coming, and his ministry will be one of mercy and grace through his miraculous outpouring and anointing. Elijah wanted Elisha to consider his cost and the cost of his request, and now and how essential it would be to be plugged in to the fire of God's anointing. You see, there's this story about this vacuum salesman down in Tennessee. He was out in rural Tennessee, and he had his vacuum cleaner and all his tools and everything that went with it, and he went out there to sell his vacuum to the lady. And he told the lady, "I've got the most exciting vacuum cleaner you have ever seen. It will clean your house from top to bottom. You only have to pay so much down." And the lady said, "It sounds real good." And he said, "You see that big pile of dirt right there on the floor and all those fur balls and bugs and things?" He said, "My vacuum cleaner will just pick all that up, and just like that, they won't be there." And she said, "Well, you might as well get your knife and fork, because we don't have any electricity out here." You see, when you're asking for a double portion, you're going to be plugged in. You need to know what you're doing when you ask for what you're asking for. Be ready to receive your new assignment when the fresh anointing empowers you. I love when he cries out, "My Father, my Father." When I was researching that, I love that. "My Father, my Father." What he was doing at that moment when the anointing had enveloped him, he was taking on the place of Elijah's firstborn son. That's what he was doing in the spirit. He knew his position. He knew who he belonged to. He knew who had trained him. He knew what God had done in his life. And he knew that he had a new responsibility. He was acknowledging, "My Father, my Father. My heart is grieved. My heart is sorrowful. But I sense that there's a new beginning for me in this chapter of my life." I sensed, as I was studying, that I could hear in the spirit people in our congregation crying out, "My Father, my Father. My mother, my mother." And there was a release in the spirit. It may not even be your natural mother or father, maybe a spiritual mother or father. Mary Lou just went to be with the Lord. But her spirit will reign. Her presence is amongst us in the sense of her deposit of her life, right? All of us, somehow, some way, were transformed from that anointing that was on her life. It's just the truth of Scripture, and it's the truth of what occurred in this chapter. Moving on to verses 13 to 18. Determine that you will activate the new level of anointing God desires to release in your life. You see, when He comes to us and He visits us, and He determines the anointing. He determines what the Spirit's about to do. He determines, but you determine your willingness to get up and move in that anointing. And a lot of us will say, "Well, I'm not anointed like so-and-so." All the anointing of the Spirit is individualized. We see that. How do we see that? Elijah had a certain anointing. Elisha had a certain anointing. He did this amount of miracles. He did double the amount of miracles. He established the kingdom. He wanted to bring people into the kingdom. You hear what I'm saying? They both were anointed, but the anointing was different. The calling was different. The purpose was different. And yet the purpose was heading in the same direction. And when we all are not threatened by each other's anointing, and when we're not threatened by what God's choosing to do with a certain person, and we give freedom to that person to move, that's the word of the Lord to me, is create as much freedom in the body of Christ so that people can move and discover their anointing. And not be shut down because the old guard is saying, that's not the way we used to do it. But the old guard has the wisdom to say, well, let me hear how you want to do it. You hear what I'm saying? That has to happen at Joy. That has to be released at Joy. That has to be released from the elders to the pastoral staff and the staff. And we need to let people rise up as Elijah was willing to. Well, I don't think he had a choice. He did not have a choice. It was God's choice. And we think we're in charge of the anointing of the Lord. And the Lord said, whoa, 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 whoa. No, that's not your responsibility. Leave that to me, thank you. Amen? Very important. Take what he has placed in your hand and declare like Elijah did. Declare, what did he do? Okay. So this is what Elijah did this with his cloak. So I'm going to walk over to the Jordan. I saw him do it. I'm sure I can do it. That's not a bad thing, folks. Takes the cloak. Boom! Separates. He ushered in that double portion of anointing. It has to start somewhere. So sometimes, when God's asking us, like, well, I don't want to be like so-and-so. I don't want to do anything like so-and-so. That may be the starting place. Amen? I remember when I was installed here at Joy, and Pastor Tony passed on. Remember the shepherd's rod? The staff? It's up in my office. I almost took it out yesterday to pull Brian off the stage. I look at that with high respect and honor. That's a symbol to me. My Father, my Father. Thank you for entrusting, believing, giving me the privilege to do what I do today because of your heart, the depth of your love, your Father's heart of restoration. That is here, folks. That is in our midst. That never left when Pastor Tony and Susan left. That is here. It's in the DNA of the people of God in this place. May it never leave. Amen? Amen. Always respect the deposit that God has granted you to take you to your next step. That's what Elisha did so well. He honored and he respected Elijah. My Father, my Father, how endearing you've been to me. Don't hesitate or question God's immediate intervention. Follow through and honor his faithfulness to use you. That's what Elisha did. One day as American pioneers were traveling in their wagons, they noticed a long line of smoke that stretched for miles across the prairie. And soon it was evident that the dry grass was burning fiercely and the fire was moving towards them rapidly. And they had crossed a river that day and they couldn't get back to the river to be safe. And so they were caught now. And so one of the leaders had the wisdom to say, start a fire behind us. So they started this fire behind them. And so once all that burned down, the leader said to the whole group of wagons, move your wagons now across where the fire has gone and stay put. And one of the little girls was screaming out, no, 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 we're all going to burn to death. And the leader replied, don't worry, my child, the flames can't reach us here, for we are standing where the fire has been. And sometimes you have to stand where the fire has been before God moves in the supernatural again. Amen? Stay focused on what God is currently doing and do not be distracted by the lack of faith in others. I love what Elijah said in verse 15. He's really giving clear direction to these prophets who are asking him, do you want me to do this? A company of prophets from Jericho, this is the third school of prophets who were watching, said the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha, and they went to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. Look, they said, we are your servants. We have 50 able men. Let us go and look for your master. And perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down. Now, they're used to this. They're not speaking at a turn because that's what God was doing all along with Elijah. They were only speaking what they knew and experienced. But God was doing something new. Hear what I'm saying? And so Elijah was activated in faith and he said, no, don't do it. And they decided to do it. And then they come back and they said, we couldn't find him after 3 days. I do not want to waste more time. Can I tell you that? I don't want to waste God's time. I don't want to waste my time. And I don't want to waste your time. Boy, do we need a spirit of the Lord, the spirit of God to move though, don't we? In a whole new way. Allow God to give you the necessary grace to minister with others who have the same calling as you. So as we minister this Friday night, and then 2 weeks after this Friday night, as we minister through the Hope Shop on a weekly basis, as we're launching Summer of Kindness, as we're launching our new VBS, as we're launching the prayer tents, there is many, many opportunities to serve. And if you can't do any of those, you still can pray. You still can believe. You still can give. You still can attend. You still can come and not sit like this and say, well, what's God about to do? No, get ready because God is going to do. Amen? And He's looking for you to participate in whatever way He's calling you. Like Elijah, you can ask for a fresh anointing of God's fire in your life. Let's pray. Father, what a great day we've had in your presence today. Thank you, Lord, for our time of worship. Thank you for our time of fellowship. Thank you for our time of giving. And thank you, Lord, that you're launching us into this moment where we get to rekindle the altar of fire in our own lives. And we're asking today for an outpouring of fresh fire. We're asking today that we will stand and we will stay determined and we will stay the course with you, Lord God, and that we will stay in your presence until you release a fresh anointing upon our life. We'll stay by those people who have an anointing, and Lord, we'll participate and exercise new levels of faith. We're asking right now, Lord, that you will release even a greater faith among us to believe that fresh fire can fall from the heavens again. Do it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.